So happy Sabbath again, church. I'm used to saying good morning, but I had to remind myself it's the afternoon. But it is a blessing to be here with you all today. I thank Pastor Jinha for giving me the opportunity, and she asked me to come and share my testimony. And when I've been asked to come and share my testimony, I have to think, where do I start? Because like the question Shane just asked, what made you want to go into doing this or doing ministry? There's not one pinpoint moment where I can say that because of this happened. But it's just a collection of things that have happened in my life that have led me to where I am now. But I do remember four instances where I've heard God speak to me directly. And I think that God can speak to us in many different ways. So he can speak to us through people. He can speak to us through events happening. He can speak to us through our conscience, like a repetitive thought. But I do remember four instances in my life where I've heard God's voice directly speaking to me. And the first one, I think back, is about 15 years ago. And I had come back to Melbourne on holiday. So I was living in Sydney, and we went to catch up with all our friends, and we were having dinner in St. Kilda. So I was driving one of my friends, and we were driving over to St. Kilda, and I hadn't seen my friend who was in the car with me for a while. So we were catching up, we were laughing, we were talking, we were just enjoying this ride over to St. Kilda. And if you know the street of St. Kilda Fitzroy, that's where we were headed to our friend's place. There's a big intersection, which I think is Queen Street and Fitzroy. So it was actually summer. So it was about 6 o'clock. So it's still bright. There was a lot of people on the road. Nothing to be afraid of, nothing out of the ordinary. So we're driving and we pull up to this intersection because it's a red light. And I just pull up and I hit the brakes, and as I hit the brakes, I hear this really loud but urgent voice, and it says, "Lock the door." And usually I kind of second guess myself, or I don't really think, but I heard this voice really loud in my head, and I pressed the central locking without even thinking. I just pressed the central locking. And as I went to press the central locking, this man comes on the side of the passenger door, and he starts trying to open the passenger door really vigorously, and he starts banging on the window, and he's kind of swearing, and he's shouting, and he's screaming, and he's trying really hard to open the door. And we kind of looked at each other and we screamed because we're like, "Oh, what's happening?" And then luckily the lights turned green and I sped off, and we were kind of laughing because we were looking at each other and we're like, "What just happened?" But as I was driving away, I remember thinking, wow, imagine if I didn't listen to that voice that I heard, the outcome would have been so different, because that man didn't look like he was in his right mind. It was quite scary. But I thought, and I knew straight away, that must have been God. And I thought to myself, wow, thank you, God. You just saved our lives. I don't know what would have happened. So that was the first instance that I remember hearing God speak to me directly. And there was another time that I was going through something, and I really thought that God should let this thing happen. And I thought, you know, everything seems to be in place. It seems like it's the best plan to do. Why hasn't this happened yet? And I was actually sitting on the toilet at this time, and I was complaining to God, and I was saying, "God, you know, why do I have to wait for this? Why can't it happen now? You know, it seems like it's the best thing that could happen for me. Why is it taking so long?" And I remember clearly that this verse came to my head, and then I heard the words, "Wait, it will come." And I remember sitting there and being humbled, because I was like, yeah, sometimes there's things that we think are best for us, but it's true, we have to wait on the Lord. And in his time is the best time, and sometimes we just have to trust that. So the second time that I heard his voice, he was telling me to wait patiently for something. So the third time that I remember hearing his voice clearly was actually in 2023. So I was having problems with my eyes. And at that time, I was working for the union conference, and I was working at the youth department, and we were getting ready to plan Camperee. So if you haven't heard of Camperee, it's part of the Pathfinder Clubs for the young teens. And we have about 5,000 teens and adults coming to this place, and it's for a week, it goes for a week, and they do camping and different activities. So we were the head of planning this camperee, and so there was a lot of work to do. And at the start of all that planning, I started to have eye problems. And at first it started with a little bit of bleeding at the back of my right eye, but then throughout the coming months, the bleeding got worse. And then after a few months later, my left eye started bleeding. So there was a time in 2023, near the end, where I was blind for about 2 weeks. And I had to wait to be able to get surgery on my eyes. And I remember the surgeon telling me that they weren't sure whether I'd be able to get my eyesight back. They'd only be able to tell me if I could get some eyesight back while they're doing the surgery, because they don't know how bad it is, how bad the problem had become. So they said, we aren't able to tell you how much eyesight you'll get back. So there was 2 weeks that I was kind of sitting at home, feeling lonely, because I was literally sitting in the dark. And there was one day I remember that I had to be home alone. And so I was sitting on the couch by myself because I couldn't really see where to go. So I was sitting and waiting for somebody to come home. And I started to feel sorry for myself. I started to question God and kind of feel low and sad. And I remember sitting there, my dog was next to me, and I started questioning God. And at this time, I actually had a few preaching appointments lined up in the next coming months. And I had to cancel them all because I wasn't able to do any research. I wasn't able to write up a sermon or read it. So I had to cancel all these preaching appointments. And I remember I started complaining to God, and I was like, God, you gave me all these opportunities to speak for you, and I said that I would never say no if I'm able to. So you gave me these opportunities, but then you took away my sight. And I started complaining and getting angry, and I said, God, why would you do this? I do everything that I'm able to do for you. I say yes every time somebody asks me to do something. I get involved as much as I can, but yet you took away my sight. How am I supposed to preach, or how am I supposed to do work for you? How am I supposed to volunteer if I can't see? And I started to get really frustrated and started to question God. Are you even there, or do you even love me? Because why would you allow this to happen to me when I'm doing my best for you? And I remember sitting there and starting to cry because I was digging myself a hole. And then I heard God's voice, and I heard these four words. And it was a really loud voice, but yet it was so still and soft. And I heard these four words that said, I'll still use you. And I remember that when I heard those words, I had instant peace. And it wasn't peace because when I heard those words, I knew that God was going to restore my sight. It was actually the opposite. It was actually peace, knowing that no matter what the outcome is, no matter if I'm going to get my sight back or not, or no matter if I am able to see, that God still has a plan for my life, that no matter what circumstance I'm going to be in, God is still going to use me. He can use us no matter what circumstance, no matter where we are in life, He will still use me. And that was the peace that flooded me at that time. And thankfully enough, I went through the surgery and my sight was restored. So very, very happy that that's the direction God put me in. But the last time that I heard God speak to me directly was actually last year. So in February of last year, my sister and I went over to California to have a holiday. We were going over to visit our cousin. It was her 40th birthday, and our plan was to stay there for 3 weeks, and we were just spending time with her, so we didn't really go and visit a lot of places. I've been there a few times, so we were more just spending time with her, eating a lot of junk food, watching movies, just spending time with her. And I remember the whole 3 weeks she was asking me, please, please, can you extend your stay? Can you stay a bit longer? We hadn't seen her for a while, so she was saying, please, can you stay a bit longer? So I think about a week before I was about to leave, I checked the tickets and I was able to extend my flight for another 3 weeks. So my sister flew home and I stayed on in America for another 3 weeks. And about a week before I was to leave back to Australia, I remember it was a Sabbath afternoon and we were having lunch after church at my aunt's place. And I was perfectly fine that day. And we were sitting eating lunch and out of nowhere, I started getting chills. My whole body just started shaking and I couldn't control it. And I thought, oh, like, was there a change of weather? You know, it started to feel really cold. And then I started to get a little bit of a fever. So I thought, oh, I must be getting sick. And then that evening, I started to get more chills and more fever. And I thought to myself, oh no, I'm coming down with a cold. And I remember at that time in California, COVID was coming back. So a lot of people were getting COVID. So I was like, yep, I've got COVID, but it'll be fine. Give it about 3 days and I'll be fine and I can fly home. But after 3 days, I actually was the opposite. My fever and chills never left. My fever actually got worse. And to top it off, the next day, on the Sunday after I started having the fever and chills, the top of my right foot started hurting. And although it doesn't look like it, I was actually going to the gym. And I had been going to the gym with my cousin regularly. And the day before I got sick, we were doing leg day. So when the top of my foot started to hurt, I thought, wow, I must have really pushed myself on those weights. Like, I really did a good job. But I thought I must have pulled the ligament or pulled the tendon or something, because my foot was hurting. So I thought, great, I've got COVID and I strained my foot. And this went on for about 3 days. And I remember my cousin, she asked me, do you want to go to emergency? And I said, no, I just need to rest. I just need to sleep it off. But actually at the back of my head, I thought I could sleep it off. But I also remembered that when I extended my ticket, I didn't extend my health insurance. And if there's any Americans here, maybe not, their health insurance, Pastor Jinnah, their health insurance is ridiculous compared to ours. So I thought, I'm not going to pay like $300 to just see a doctor who's going to tell me I have COVID. So I thought, no, I'm just going to sleep it off. And for 3 days I slept and I didn't realize that I hadn't eaten or drunk anything and that I could hardly get up. And so by the third day, which was a Tuesday, my cousin came in the room and she saw me lying there and she said, we need to go to emergency. And I said, yeah, just give me 2 hours, like just give me two more hours. I'm so tired, I need to sleep. And she called my auntie, who actually is from Australia, but she was holidaying there for 3 months too. So she came over and she took one look at me and she said, no, you got to get up. We're going to emergency. And I didn't realize how weak I'd become. They actually had to carry me down the stairs. It took like four of them because they're tiny little Asians. And they had to carry me down the stairs. And luckily, my cousin had a wheelchair and they took me over to emergency care at Loma Linda Hospital in California. And I was feeling really weak. And I remember we got into emergency care and the nurse had to call me in for triage, and I told her, you should put your mask on because I've got COVID. So she said, okay. And I said, yep, I've got all the symptoms of COVID. And she checked me and I went back into the waiting room and I thought, great, I'm going to be waiting here for a long time because the emergency room was really busy. And to my surprise, I only waited for about 10 minutes, and then the doctor called me in, and he called me in and he said, we need to do a CT scan of your foot. And I said, okay. And I thought, oh, this is going to take even longer. But it only took about 5 minutes for them to take me to the CT scan. They did the scan, and I went back into the waiting room, and I was waiting there for less than 10 minutes, and they called me back into the doctor's office. And I was really surprised. I said, wow, I didn't realize that the American health system was this efficient, better than Australia. But then the doctor said to me, we need you to wait in here for a while because we're just getting confirmation from the main hospital in Loma Linda because the surgery team wants to see you. And I thought, surgery team? What? Was my pulled tendon that bad? They didn't really say anything else, but in about within 10 minutes, they put me onto an ambulance to transfer me like 5 minutes away to the main hospital at Loma Linda. And when they brought me into the emergency room at Loma Linda, they took me straight into an isolated room. And then I thought, oh, this seems a little bit serious. And within 5 minutes, a surgeon came in with her team. And she came in and she looked at me and she said, we've just been looking at your blood results and your CT scan. And she said, you actually have necrotizing fasciitis in your right foot, which is flesh-eating bacteria. And she said, it's pretty bad. And the only thing that we can do right now is to amputate your right foot. And I remember looking at her and thinking, is this a joke? Like, I had no reaction because I couldn't even comprehend what she was saying. And she looked at me. I think she saw my face was so blank. And she said to me, at this moment, it's life over limb, so we're going to have to do it. And she said, it's pretty urgent, so within the hour, we're going to prep you and bring you into the operating room. So she said, I'll give you an hour to call your family, because she knew we were Australian. So she said, I'll give you an hour to call your family in Australia. Let them know what's happening. If you have any questions or you have any concerns, you can bring it up with them and then we can talk about it. So she left us. My cousin was with me to call our family. And I remember my cousin, she called up my family. She called my sister and my mom. And she said, we're in Loma Linda emergency right now, and Janelle has to get her right foot amputated because she's got necrotizing fasciitis. And I remember my mom, who is the worst warrior. She will, you know, if you do one little thing, she'll scream. But she, when we told her the news, she was so calm. She was so calm, and she said, just do whatever the surgeons recommend to do. And then I remember when my cousin told my sister started bursting out crying, and she was crying uncontrollably. And then my cousin started crying uncontrollably, and I was listening to my sister over the phone, and I looked over at my cousin who started to bawl her eyes out, and I looked at them and I said, oh, actually, should I be crying? So then I started crying because I was like, I don't know what to do but cry, because I can see them both crying. But it still hadn't hit me. It still hadn't sunken in what was about to happen. And as we were crying there over the phone, the surgeon comes in. So this is only about 10 minutes of her leaving the room. And the surgeon comes in and she says, I'm just going to do a checkup on your foot. And she checks my foot and she says, I'm sorry, we don't have the hour. We need to go now. It's rapidly moving. And within that 10 minutes, I had red markings going up my leg. And she said, this infection is so it's so rampant that we need to go now. Otherwise, it's going to spread really fast. So within 5 minutes, they prepped me and they started wheeling me to the operating room. And I remember I was lying on the bed and being wheeled to the operating room, and I had this flashback of all the many times that I've watched medical shows like Grey's Anatomy or New Amsterdam, and they always have this scene when patients are being wheeled into the emergency room of those big floodlights in the hospital, you know, going past them as they're being wheeled. And that's exactly what was happening. I was seeing these big floodlights going past me as they're hurrying me into the operating room. And I remember thinking, this is so surreal. Is this really happening to me? Am I really going to get my foot chopped off? And I remember lying there, and then I started to talk to God in my mind. And I was like, God, is this really happening? Like, this just came out of nowhere. I thought I had COVID. And then I was like, God, I'm not really sure how to react, but I know that you are a good God. I know that you are a God of miracles, and I know that you can do anything. So God, together, let's fight this infection. And I was like, God, I know that you are able to save my foot. And I said, imagine if we get to the operating room and then the doctors pull up the sheet and the infection is completely gone. Like my foot is completely normal. Imagine what a testament of your goodness and how powerful and great you are. I was almost telling God what he should do, how he should be perceived. But I guess it was part of the stages of denial that I was going through. And I started to tell God, come on, God, I know that you can do this. I know that you are a miraculous God and you can make miracles happen. So God, please just make things happen in the next 5 minutes and we can save my foot. And then as I started to rationalize to myself that probably that's not going to happen, I started to get a little bit angry. And I started saying, God, as if you're going to let this happen, as if you're going to let them chop my foot off, how am I going to live? I am a really active person. I love to travel. We love going out in nature. I hate staying at home. I always want to be out. And I was like, God, how am I supposed to live my life if I only have one foot? And I remember questioning and starting to get really angry at God. And actually, at that time, I was able to extend my holiday because I had resigned from my job. I had resigned from my job at the union because I was doing theology and I had about a year left. And it's taken me so long because I've been doing part-time. And I remember I felt so motivated to just be like, I need to just spend an entire year and finish off my course so that I can finish it. So I had actually resigned from my job and my plan was to just finish off my course full time. And that was what I wanted to do last year. So I said, God, I started to tell God, God, you made me quit a job that I love and I was getting paid well for and to finish off the course that I feel like you've called me to, but then you let this happen. So I do something for you and then you let this tragedy happen to me. And I started to get really frustrated and angry. And I was like, God, how am I supposed to do the work that you've called me to? How am I supposed to get up and preach, go to different places and walk around if I only have one foot? And I started to get really angry and panic started to come into me because I was like, really starting to bargain and starting to get frustrated because I was like, we're getting closer to the operating room. What's going to happen? What's going to be of my life? What is my future? Because it was something that I was facing that was so scary. It was something that I would never imagine happening to me. And as I was in that moment of frustration, of despair, of panic, I heard those same four words that I had heard exactly a year earlier, and I heard them as loudly as I heard them before, and it was, I'll still use you. And I remember that when I heard those four words, this peace that passes all understanding just flooded me, and I laid on that bed and I said, thank you, God. And I remember I had that peace because I had remembered the last time that I heard those words, God came through for me. I just had to trust in his plan. I just had to trust that he has my life in his hands. So no matter what the outcome is, I remembered that God had promised me and had come through to me in the past. So that's all I could do at this moment. So I entered that operating room with peace. And I remember they put all the oxygen masks and the gas masks, and then they were putting needles in my arm, and I was just so relaxed. I was just looking at the nurses, and I just had this smile on my face because I just knew that no matter what I do, it's out of my control, but the best place to leave anything is in God's hands. So as you can see, or you've probably noticed, my foot was amputated, and I went through surgery that day. And afterwards, when I came out of the surgery, when I was in ICU, I was told that I actually coded before they were able to do surgery. I coded twice, so they had to revive me twice because my body was shutting down so rapidly, and my organs were shutting down, and the sepsis, which is the blood poisoning, was going through my body so fast. The infection was going through my body so fast. And later on, the surgeon told me that if I had come into the emergency room an hour later than I did, I would have probably died of sepsis. So I just praise God that it was at the right time. It was at his timing, and my life was saved. So I have a few pictures to show you. Not many, but I think there's one. Oh, that was my eye. that was my first surgery. So the next one. This is a picture of what I thought. I didn't have a picture of California, but I thought this is the epitome of America for me, which is junk food. So that's my American picture. So the next picture is there a next one? Oh, so this was me. That was me just a week before I had my surgery. So we were going rock climbing. My cousin lives near the mountains in San Bernardino. So we were going rock climbing. We were doing a lot of activity sports. So this is my foot just before the surgery. And I didn't have any of those markings for the whole 3 days. Those markings just appeared about 20 minutes before I went into the surgery. So that's how fast the infection came up and showed. So I was just so thankful and reminded when I see that of the people that God puts in our lives, because he had just absolutely amazing surgeons who just picked it up from the blood work, and one of the surgeons just had an inkling that this was my problem. And so that's why she pushed for me to go to the main hospital to see the surgeons. And I praise God because they were able to catch it in time. So the next slide is, this is a picture of me just after the surgery. I was in ICU. So my cousin was updating our family group chat. We have a big family. So she was trying to be funny there because they were all at our house. They were all crying and being emotional. So she was trying to make something funny. But I remember at this time, I had to stay in the hospital for about a month in Loma Linda. It was actually a month. And it was much longer than they anticipated because I had so many health problems because the infection affected so many of my organs, so that it was just problem after problem after problem. But I remember my time in the hospital, I wasn't able to feel pity or despair, because each day that I was there, God just continually reminded me of his goodness, and he continually blessed me every day with so many things that I didn't have time to feel sad for myself, or I didn't have time to feel low or depressed or in that really bad state of mind, because God just continually showed me that he was there. I think I have another picture. That was right after the surgery. And these are some of the staff that we had. I was in Loma Linda, so they have a new hospital now. I think it's a few years old. But I was on the 15th floor, which is the highest floor in the hospital, in my own private suite without health insurance. So it was literally like staying at a 5-star hotel, because we had the whole wall was a window, so we could look out and you can see the whole San Bernardino Valley going into LA. So it was like a really beautiful view on the 15th floor. And the hospital staff were so kind. My sister flew in the day of my surgery, so the next day she was there, and they allowed my sister and my cousin to sleep with me every night at the hospital for a month. And so I have a picture of my cousins there. And sometimes when they'd sleep over, we'd laugh and we'd catch up. And I realized that we haven't been able to spend a lot of time with our cousins in America because they live over there. But this whole month, they came to stay and to sleep over with me. And I thought, thank you, God, because we have this time to catch up. It felt like there were so many times that it felt like we were kids again, laughing and chatting and making fun. And a lot of the times the nurses would come in and they're like, you're having a party in here, because we'd be laughing together. And I thought, God, it should be such a sad time, but there was so much, however ironic it is, but there were so much good memories at that time too, and moments that I'm able to be thankful for at such a hard time. So God sent so much amazing people to care for me. Those are some of the nursing staff. We were able to make friends, really good friends with some of the nursing staff. I've kept in contact with them, and we became really good friends with some of them, that when they'd come on duty and they weren't my nurses, they'd always come in every morning, and just when they're finishing their shift, because they wanted to say bye and they wanted to make sure that they were going to see me the next day. And we were able to pray with a few of them and make really good connections. And I thought, God, thank you that we're in a hospital room. We're stuck in a hospital room, in a hospital bed, but we're still able to share your love. And it was a lesson for me that no matter what situation or no matter where you are, even though it might seem like you don't have an opportunity to share God, if you give it to Him, He'll give you the opportunity to be able to share His goodness to others. So that was a really big lesson that I learned too. I think there's more pictures. That was some of the physio that I had to do. And okay, yeah. So at this time, during my time there, I just felt like God continually encouraged me and continually blessed me every day, that despite the situation I was in, I could only be grateful. And I remember when I was young in high school, we had a project from our English teacher, and they wanted us to find a quote and write an essay on it. And I remember I was like, oh, I want to find a really good quote. And I forgot who this quote was from, but I used this quote and it stayed with me till today. And the quote says, see Jesus in everything, and in everything you'll find blessing. And I remember this quote was so clear to me, because I thought, yes, if you see Jesus work in every single thing that you do, in every single aspect of your life, you can only see the blessings that He gives. And it was such encouragement. It's what kept me positive during this time. And I was also reminded of the story of Job. And growing up, I remember this story of Job, and I remember thinking that the story was unfair. I always thought the story of Job was unfair. And I thought, here is a man of God, a faithful man of God, but he had to suffer to show his faith. And I always thought, why does that have to happen to him? Why does he have to suffer so much? He's been so faithful and good to God. Why does he have to be tested in that way? And that's what I always thought. I always thought his story was unfair. But while I was in the hospital, I was continually reminded of the story of Job, and I just had a whole new perspective of this story from what I had gone through. And I remember thinking about it, and I remember having this revelation of, now I get it. Now I get why this story is so powerful. Now I get why Job with God is so powerful, because Job, if you know the story, went through so many things. He lost his house, he lost his livelihood, he became sick, and then he eventually loses his family. So in essence, he loses everything that is important to him, but he still stays faithful to God. And in the end, God restores everything he has twofold. But I remember thinking, I get it now. I get how Job was able to go through that season of trouble, because he didn't just go through that season of trouble suffering and just enduring every day through all the troubles and trials that came to him. He didn't just endure and go through it, but he went through it with God. And that means that in his weakness, he had strength because he had God. In his pain that he must have felt, losing everything that he had, losing his family, he was able to experience joy. And that was the first time that I was able to really understand, through something painful, you can have joy. And it was unimaginable to me before that event that in something so painful, you are able to be happy and to have joy. And also, he was able to have a strong foundation. His faith was able to be made stronger because of what he had gone through. And the thing is, not only was God with Job during that time, but Job was able to lean on God. He was able to go through that some time with God because he knew God before those things happened to him. He knew that God was going to get him through those things because he had experienced God for himself, because he knew him personally. And that was something that really stuck to me when this thing happened, that I was able to endure. I was able to be happy. I was able to get through this really hard time in my life because I had experienced God doing that for me before. I knew that when he said, I'll use you, that I can count on those promises because he has done it for me before and he's done it for other people time and time again. And I thought, what a good God we have, that he gives us all these promises in the Bible, but he doesn't give them to us just to read and to enjoy, but he gives them to us to claim for our own. We are able to read those promises that we can read in Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And not only can we read it for encouragement, but we can claim that for our own. We can claim God's strength in our weakness. We can claim his joy and his peace that passes understanding when we need it. So I remember there's a lot that I can go on. Every day there were so many miracles, so many stories where God brought certain people at certain times to be able to get me through that time in my life. I'll share this one story because it is pretty amazing. So I shared with you that I didn't have health insurance. So the American health care system is a really big ripoff. And one day in the room that I had, because I had to continually get MRIs, CT scans, I had to get a PICC line inserted. I had to get so many things. So a stay for one day at Loma Linda was about $200,000 on average, and that's not including when I had the extra scans and things. So I was there for a month, and I remember the last day that I was leaving, I had to take medicine home, and medicine is really expensive in America. And so they gave me 3 months worth of medicine because at that time we weren't sure if I'd be able to fly home. My wound was really, it was a really difficult one. So the physicians didn't want me to go back to Australia. So we thought there might be a possibility that I'd have to do rehab and physio over there. So they said, to be safe, we'll give you 3 months worth of medication. And I got a call from the pharmacy, the case worker that worked with the pharmacy. And he said, your medication is about $1,500. And I said, okay. And we had actually started a GoFundMe. So I did have some money. But he said, I know it's a lot. Do you think you can pay half? Which is about $700. And I said, yeah, I can pay half. And he said, okay, let me contact the pharmacy and I'll get back to you if they'll allow you to pay half. So I said, okay. So we waited for hours because we were waiting for me to be discharged. This was the only thing we were waiting for. And the caseworker calls about 5 hours later, and he says, I'm really sorry, but the pharmacy is closed, and so they won't allow us to give you that discount. And I said, okay, no, that's fine. We'll pay their whole thing. And then he says, no, that means you can take it for free. You can just take the medication home for free. And he was like, it's all yours. And I thought, whoa, thanks, God. This is a really good bonus, you know. We got $1,500 worth of free meds. And so I thought, wow, God, you're already so good. I already put the financial burden in his hands because I knew there was nothing I could do about it. But I already thought $1,500 was amazing. But we get home, and my sister and my cousin, they continually look at the website because what Loma Linda Hospital does is you're on a system and then they send you emails about how much you owe the hospital. So on the first week out, we get an we get an email that says we owe $16,000. And so I was like, okay, we can pay that with the GoFundMe that we have. And then later on, we get the week later, we get another bill that says $32,000 on top of the $16,000. And I said, okay, this is really pushing it, but I guess like there's nothing else we can do. So after a month, almost a month of being out of the hospital, we were able to find a time and fly back to Australia. And when we get back to Australia, my sister and I open the website, and to our shock, we see the hospital bill, which is $1,800,000, I think it was, almost $2 million that we owed Loma Linda Hospital. And we looked at each other, and I was like, this would buy me a mansion in Australia, and I can't afford that. I was like, how am I supposed to pay back Loma Linda? We had raised about taking away the money that we paid for our tickets to come back, we had about $20,000 left. And so I said, you know, that's not even a dint in what we owe Loma Linda. And I kind of had a little bit of anxiety about it for a day. And then I told my sister, and we talked about it, and we just prayed together. And we were like, we in no way would be able to afford this. So I prayed and I said, God, you gave me the assurance when I was in hospital that you would provide. And you did provide with people donating and sending. So I said, God, there's nothing I can do, but I'm going to leave this in your hands. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'll leave it in your hands. So we prayed about it and we left it in God's hands. And the hospital website would send us an email almost every 2 days telling us, you owe $1,800,000. And I'd continually get these emails, and I was like, you know, I don't want to be reminded that I owe this much money. And then after about 2 weeks, I remember I was checking my emails, and I thought, oh, I haven't seen an email from Loma Linda in a while. And so I said to my sister, oh, can we check the website, because I haven't received an email from Loma Linda. Like, I just want to check that the balance is still there, or if they've added anything on, because it took them a while to add the $1 million on top of the $50,000 we already owed. So we went to check the email, and we were looking through, and when we looked through the website, the balance came on and it said zero. It said you owe nothing. And I was like, what? Did they make a mistake? So we checked it again. We were checking all the different tabs on, like, the financial tabs of where to go, and it just kept saying your balance is zero. So I said, okay, let's just leave it for a week, and maybe they've made a mistake. So after a week, we checked it again, and we checked, and the balance was still zero. It said the whole bill for our Loma Linda bill was gone. And I said, okay, I don't want to get my hopes up yet. Let's just make sure they haven't made a mistake. So I rang my cousin in America, and I said, can you just call? She works at Loma Linda. So I said, can you just call them and just double check that they haven't made a mistake, because the balance on the website is saying zero. So she called them, and they told her, oh, the bill's been taken care of. They owe nothing. And I remember my sister and I just prayed, and I just prayed, because I thought, God, you are so good. There's nothing impossible for you. When we're at our lowest, or when we're at our wit's end and there's nothing for us to do, the best place is just to leave it in God's hands. There's nothing else that we can do but to leave it there. And during my time in the hospital, I saw this verse a lot, and I read it a lot, and I remember thinking that I now understand why. I now understand how we can do this. That even though we are on the mountaintop and we're rejoicing and we're happy and everything's going well, or whether we're in the valley that seems like it's the deepest and lowest place in our life and there's nowhere to go but down even further, we can still rejoice and see the goodness of God no matter what season of life we're in. So there was two verses that I dwelt on, which was in 1 Thessalonians. My eyes are still a bit bad, so I can't read that from here. But it says, rejoice. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I remember seeing that verse so many times and being and thinking, yes, we are able to rejoice and to give thanks in God in all circumstances when we know Him, when we know how good He is, no matter where, whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley. And I remember this verse in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And often we as humans want to do things our own way, and we think of things that are the best for us. But sometimes, or most of the time, we just need to leave it to God, because He knows better. He sees the whole map while we just see the road that we're traveling on. So I just wanted to encourage everyone that no matter what season in life you're going through, or no matter what circumstance you're going through, that God is there, and that we are able to read the Bible. We are able to claim the promises that He gives us, and that if we start now, or if we haven't already, or if we already are on the journey to know God, know Him more, because it's knowing Him that is able to pull us through any circumstance or any difficulty or any moment in life. And that's what I've learned through this whole thing. So thank you for listening. And as I call up our group again, I just ask that as we sing this song, that you contemplate on the words that we're singing, that it will be a prayer in all of our hearts, that we have the longing and we have the want to seek God and to know Him, so that we are able to lean on Him in anything that we go through in life. Would you please bow your heads with me as I just close with prayer? Our dear, kind, loving Heavenly Father, we just thank You that we are able to come together and just worship and fellowship and praise You on this Sabbath day. Lord, we pray that You just be with us, that You help us to remember that You are a good God. Help us to remember that You are a God who loves us, that You are a God who is merciful and gracious, and especially that You are our God. Lord, we pray that You be with us and that You fill our lives, that we will have the want and the need to seek You and to learn more about You and to know You more, Lord, that we are able to have the faith that Job had, that no matter what circumstance in life we're going through, no matter whether we're high or whether we're low, that we are able to give You thanks in all circumstances. Help us to know the God that You are. We want to thank You for everything You've done for us. We want to thank You for all the many blessings, and especially for being our God. We pray for Your blessings and be with us all through this new week. We thank You and we praise You in Your name. Amen.